Today's reading can be found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, and that's page 1182 in your blue Bibles. It's Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, page 1182. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. Faith and the love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learnt it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit.
Thanks, Philippa. Good morning, everybody. Let me introduce you to my made-up friend, Cecilia. If you were up at 5 a.m. in Colossae, you would see her on her way to her market stall. Cecilia always had a smile for everyone who came to her for fresh fruit and veg. She had a faithful group of regulars who always enjoyed stopping for a chat. And over the weeks, she started to notice something odd about a few of her regulars. A few of them had stopped coming in their usual Sunday morning time slot. And when they did come, something seemed different. There seemed to be a bit of a lightness about them. She couldn't really figure out what it was, but there was a new warmth about the way that they greeted one another. She noticed this change in more and more people, and she just had to find out what it was. Finally, Cecilia asked one of her long-standing customers, "What's going on?" And the reply was simply, "Come and see." Now, fast forward a few months, and the change wasn't a mystery anymore. Cecilia herself walked to the market with a lightness in her step every day, and it was the highlight of each day to greet one of her brothers and sisters that she'd met in church who came to her stall. She too had given her life to Christ and had become part of the first ever church in the city of Colossae. Life had never been better, but that all began to change. As she was packing up one day, she got into conversation with an older guy that she recognized from church the previous Sunday. He seemed interested in her story, so she explained to him how Jesus had completely transformed her life. She told him how she had heard the gospel message from her pastor, a guy called Epaphras. But at the mention of this name, this man rolled his eyes. "My dear," he said in a kind of patronizing tone, "there is so much that you do not know. All that Jesus stuff is a nice start to begin, but you're not even a proper Christian yet." As he walked away, Cecilia's face fell. Her confidence in Christ was crushed. Her certainty about the gospel evaporated. She felt judged. She felt belittled. Maybe she should start looking for help, for hope elsewhere. Maybe there was something more that she was still missing out on. Now, that made-up story represents what was really going on in Colossae. New Christians were being told that they weren't the real thing yet. They would only grow into proper, mature Christians by moving on from what they'd already heard. Imagine the effect of hearing that, especially if you're a new Christian. So the Holy Spirit gave Paul these words that we've just heard as reassurance for them. these new believers needed to know that whatever anyone else was saying, they were the real thing. That's how Paul describes them in verse 2. Describes them as God's holy people. Describes them as faithful brothers and sisters. The real thing. And of course, however long you and I have been Christians, we need that same reassurance, don't we? We all experience some kind of doubts. I know I do. Sometimes we doubt whether we're really saved. Sometimes we doubt whether we've really understood the gospel. Sometimes we wonder whether there's something we're still missing. And we need to be reassured that we are the real thing. For some here today, this message is going to land in a slightly different way. Maybe you're going to hear these descriptions of a genuine Christian and realize that that doesn't fit you yet. That is such a good, gracious work of the Holy Spirit. That sort of realization is a wonderful opportunity to come to believe in Jesus for the first time. So here's the summary of what God wants to tell his people this morning. One sentence: be reassured that you are the real thing, because you're bearing real gospel fruit and you heard the real gospel message. So let's look at this first reason to be reassured. You are bearing real gospel fruit. Now, as Paul was writing this letter, he probably had to learn how to navigate using a quill while being chained at the same time. He was suffering for the gospel in prison. And while in prison, Paul had been visited by a fellow gospel servant called Epaphras. And Epaphras told Paul all about a new church that had started in the city of Colossae. Paul had never been there. Paul had never met any of these people from Colossae. Yet what he heard from Epaphras was enough for him to conclude that they were the real thing. They were genuinely God's holy people. They were genuinely faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, the proof of a real apple tree is what? Apples. The proof of a real pear tree is what? Pears. And the proof that these Colossians were the real thing was their fruit as well. So when Paul heard about their fruit, he gave joyful thanks. But that begs the question, what is the fruit of a genuine Christian? Have a look at verses 3 to 5 with me. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. That's the answer. The fruit of a genuine Christian is faith, love, and hope. Faith, love, and hope. Just that. Epaphras didn't tell Paul all about how many Bible verses the Colossians had memorized. Paul didn't give thanks because he heard that they never missed a single midweek church meeting. The evidence of a true saint isn't being able to give the best kids group talks or never making a mistake. Perfectionists hear that. If you see even a trace of faith, love, and hope, be encouraged. These fruits, if they're budding in your life, be reassured that you are the real thing. Let's think about what each of those fruits is really. Faith. Now, many people in our society might agree and say, oh yeah, it's good to have a faith. That might be kind of like a general faith in a vague higher power, or it might even be kind of faith in yourself that you can overcome any obstacle. But general faith isn't going to do anyone any good at all. According to verse 4, the fruit of a true Christian is faith in Christ Jesus. I love that this verse doesn't say anything about how strong our faith needs to be. What matters is not the degree of our conviction. The struggling believer whose faith has dwindled to a 2 is just as much a Christian as the confident believer whose faith is a soaring 10. Even weak faith in a strong Savior saves completely. What matters is not the strength of your faith. What matters is who your faith is in. Because it's not faith that saves us. It's Jesus. Faith. The second fruit of a genuine Christian is love. Verse 4 says that this is love for all God's people. These Colossians weren't picking and choosing who in their congregation they loved. I'm sure they weren't perfect. I'm sure there were some brothers and sisters that they occasionally struggled with. But their new church was a place where the vulnerable were protected, a place where the hungry were fed, a place where the lonely found belonging, a place where the vulnerable, where the sick were visited. They loved God's people. And if you love God's people, that is a really, really good sign. How does it feel when you meet up with your small group or Bible Outlook or with your fellow youth leaders or musicians? Again, I'm not asking whether you're perfect. I'm not asking whether you never, ever struggle or find anyone irritating. But once you're together, Christians feel a beautiful oneness as brothers and sisters. If you know that, that is a good sign. And the final fruit here of genuine Christians is hope. Paul calls it the hope that's stored up for you in heaven. And this is the fountain from which faith and love spring. When we hear that Jesus offers us a place in his family home forever, it's only natural that we want to put our trust in him to get us there. And it's only natural that we want to love our brothers and sisters who share that same hope. Faith, hope, love. Those are the fruits of a genuine Christian. So let's say that you meet up with our new friend Cecilia after she's had that conversation in the marketplace. She's feeling belittled. She tells you that she's doubting whether she's a proper Christian. You can help her with these verses. You can say, Cecilia, I've seen the way you love your brothers and sisters. Cecilia, I've heard you talk about your hope. Cecilia, I know your faith is weak at the moment, but it is still there. You're the real thing. And I know that we need to be preaching this to ourselves as well. You're not who you should be yet. You've messed up 1,000 times. You've wandered far and wide. You might be playing the comparison game and really getting down on yourself. But come back to this reassuring grace of God. If you see faith, love, and hope, rejoice. Be reassured. You are his. You're the real thing. What a God we have who puts this love, faith, and hope in weak people like us. Praise him for his work in you. Now let's look at a second reason to be reassured. You heard the real gospel message. We can put that up there. Now, sometimes I'm scrolling through YouTube reels, and I come across titles like this, What Jesus Really Meant to Say. And maybe you've come across things like that. And if the algorithm kind of sends enough of those sorts of those clips to you, it can be quite destabilizing. It can be quite unsettling. And that's how Cecilia felt, isn't it? She was told, there's so much you don't know yet. All that Jesus stuff, it's a nice start, but you're not even a proper Christian yet. You don't have the full picture. These Colossians were being told that Paul's gospel was a good place to begin, but it was incomplete. They needed more than the gospel that they'd already heard. That must have been really destabilizing. So, through Paul, God wants to reassure these Colossians and us that we have heard the real gospel message. We don't need anything else. We don't need to move on to deeper things. We already have the complete, the real, the genuine thing. So, as we read verses 5 to 7, can you notice three evidences of the genuine gospel? Three evidences of the genuine gospel. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. I wonder how many people spotted all three. Maybe you spotted more than me. But here's number one. It's the same gospel that was bearing fruit across the whole world. The Colossians didn't hear some kind of niche, fringe version of the gospel. Paul, God's missionary to the Gentile world, to the whole known world, was uniquely qualified to say this. The message they heard was the very same gospel that was changing lives all across the world. Wherever this simple good news of Jesus spread, Judea, Galilee, Asia Minor, Greece, or Rome, it was producing that same fruit of faith, hope, and love. The gospel they heard wasn't small, it wasn't weak, it wasn't incomplete. It was global, growing, and transforming. And the same is true today, isn't it? The simple good news of Jesus that we hear in this room on a Sunday morning and evening is bearing fruit and growing across the whole world. You ready to hear some crazy statistics of church growth? Here we go. In 1900, there were fewer than 10 million believers in the whole continent of Africa. Fewer than 10 million. Now there are more than 720 million believers on that continent. That's amazing, isn't it? Nepal, it only had its first church in 1959. And in that church, there were 29 members. Today, there are more than 1 million Christians in Nepal. How awesome is that? In 1989, that's the year I was born. Sorry for making you feel old. There were 50 Christians in the whole of Mongolia. Today, Jesus has gathered 75,000 believers into his arms in that country. And how about one stat from slightly closer to home? Admittedly, this is about church attendance rather than genuine faith, but in 2018, less than 4% of young men in the UK attended church. Now that number has exploded to 21% attending church at least once a month. That's astonishing. What you hear in this room is the true message of the gospel. You're not believing just kind of a small local myth. You've received the worldwide, time-tested, powerful message of Jesus Christ. Here's a second evidence of the true gospel, and it's from the end of verse 6. They had truly understood God's grace. This is huge, because of course it's possible to hear the true message of the gospel without ever really getting it. You might sit here week after week and still get the wrong end of the stick. You can hear words of Jesus dying on the cross for your sins, but still come away thinking that you need to earn God's favor. You can nod at the message, but still feel and live as if you have to impress God or make up for your mistakes. But Paul says that these Colossians didn't merely hear the words of the true gospel. They truly understood God's grace. That's the measure of whether you understand the gospel. Do you truly understand God's grace? There's a definition of grace which I learned when I was a little one in Sunday school, and I'm going to hold it dearly to my heart until the day I die. It's this. Grace. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Did you get that? G, God's. R, riches. A, at. C, Christ's. E, expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is an outrageous gift from God. In grace, he pours his riches upon us, like if you're here last week, John poured all those chocolate bars into my arms. And we don't have to pay for it. It's at Christ's expense, not ours. He bought your heaven. He bought your belonging, your forgiveness, your welcome on the cross, and you don't have to pay a single penny towards it. all you have to do is say, yes, please. So if you've truly understood God's grace, if your hope is in what Christ has done, not what you have done, be reassured. You're not missing something. You're not behind. You're not second class. You've heard the real gospel. And there's one more evidence of the true gospel. They heard it, verse 7, from a faithful minister. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. Now think about what this means. The man who first told them the gospel wasn't a rogue teacher making it up as he went along. He wasn't pushing his own spin. He was a faithful servant of Christ, and he had Paul's endorsement. He preached exactly the same message. And friends, if you heard the gospel from someone who faithfully opened the Bible and pointed you to Jesus, praise God. It doesn't matter if they were well-known or well-respected. If they faithfully told you this same message as the apostles in the Bible, that is awesome. You don't need to go looking for the latest big preacher online. That's probably going to be unhelpful. If you were told that salvation is by grace through faith, if you were told that Jesus died and rose again so that all who trust in him can have eternal life, then you heard the real gospel. You did. And don't let anyone tell you that that isn't enough. It absolutely is. So here's God's word to us this morning. Be reassured that you are the real thing, because you're bearing real gospel fruit and you heard the real gospel message. And I'm going to suggest these four ways quickly that we might respond. One, be reassured. If you are bearing real gospel fruit and you have received the real gospel message, you really are the real thing. Believe the true gospel. If what I've been talking about, those descriptions, doesn't fit you yet, please don't feel like God is pushing you away. Quite the opposite. His grace is for you as well. He longs for you to come to him and believe. Don't start trying to work your way in by really working on your faith, your love, your hope. That's not how it works. Just believe the true message of the gospel and those things will follow. Third way to respond, be an encourager. If you see faith, hope, and love in someone today, why not tell them that you've noticed? You could follow Paul's example and say, I'm thanking God for you today, friend. And last one, be excited. And this is because I haven't even told you what Colossians is about yet. I've only told you the problem that they were facing. Yes, the first eight verses are about reassuring believers that we're the real thing, but the rest is going to be the secret how real believers can grow. And I'm going to save that for next time. Let's pray. Let's pause and reflect. The band are going to come up to the front. And after 30 seconds or so, as we think of what we've heard, then I'll pray. Father God, thank you for the true message of the gospel. Thank you that it is so simple. And thank you that it is all we need. Father, we thank you for all those people that we can call to mind who shared that good news with us for the first time. Father, we pray that you would reassure us this morning. We pray that if there's anyone who is feeling destabilized, feeling uncertain, feeling like their faith is frail, Lord, please strengthen us today. Remind us of who we are because of Jesus. Please tell us that we're yours. In Jesus' name, amen. To help us dwell on these truths, we're going to sing a couple of songs. In the first song, there are going to be a couple of opportunities where we just put a Bible verse on the screen that reminds us of who we are in Christ, and we can just dwell in this reality. Let's stand and sing.